After that, it got pretty late, and we both had to go, but it was great seeing Annie again. I realized what a terrific person she was and how much fun it was just knowing her. And I thought of that old joke, you know, this guy goes to a psychiatrist and says, Doc, my brother's crazy. He thinks he's a chicken. And the doctor says, well, why don't you turn him in? And the guy says, I would, but I need the eggs. Well, I guess that's pretty much now how I feel about relationships. You know, they're totally irrational and crazy and absurd. But I guess we keep going through it because most of us need the eggs.
You.
Pete Holmes, I'm a comedian. I'm with my boy, Will. You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast because you're smart.
CVTS, base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast. Welcome. Welcome once again to this program. My name is Will Coates. I am your host as always, unless I'm not here. Maybe one day I'll be able to leave, and then maybe somebody will guest host. But for now, my name is Will Coates, and I am your host of this program, the Homemade Broadcast. Welcome to another episode. I hope you're doing well. Make sure you find us on iTunes. Just search for the Homemade Broadcast and on Radio St. Pete. At 6:15 p.m. prime time, so I hear, at RadioSt.Pete.com. And, you know, you can find us on YouTube. Just search for the Homemade Broadcast. And, of course, the archive on Radio St. Pete. There's bunches of ways to listen. There's no excuse not to be listening to this program, where you can keep up with all things Tampa Bay. Florida, that is. I don't think there's another Tampa Bay in the world. But I don't know. There could be. I don't know a lot of things. So maybe there is, and I don't know about it, so I don't know. But as far as I know, Tampa Bay, Florida is what I'm covering. So, speaking of Tampa Bay, how about those Tampa Bay Lightning advancing on to the Stanley Cup Championship versus the dreaded Blackhawks from Chicago, the racist name of the Blackhawks? No, I disagree. I don't think that's racist at all. I think that's awesome. I wish that they did have a team called the Denver White People, and they stunk for a long time, so we could finally make up for all those years of oppression, and their sports team would be bad, and then everybody would be equal again, right? I pray for a world where we all be equally oppressed, and we can all cry to each other and tell each other how bad it is, and we'll all be able to sympathize with ourselves. And that will make the world a better place. But until that day, at least we have the Lightning to cheer for. Game one was Wednesday. So I don't know what happened in that game yet because it hasn't happened technically when I'm recording this program. So I can't really talk about it. So either I'm really stoked or I might be a little bummed. Those game ones are really important. I feel like in seven game series with my limited knowledge of hockey, that game one is really important to win. That kind of sets the tone for everything. And then if it's a seven game series and it goes past four, game five is another really important one. If it's like 2-2 or something, or, you know, 2-1, and then whoever, or no, that doesn't make sense. Like 2-2, I guess, if it was tied and then you win that game five, then you pretty much just have to win one more game and you're good to go. That's how you can look at it. That seems like that would be the easiest way possible. So I don't know, man. I mean, Chicago's supposed to be good. They won the Stanley Cup a couple years ago, is my understanding. But I really like our team, and they're very scrappy. And I almost want to find somewhere to put some money on the team because that's how confident I am. I've watched four games, so hey, I know what I'm talking about. But I think it's like 4-1 or something like that. Lightning are pretty big underdogs. But we have home ice. I don't know how that works. So if anyone knows of a place to bet maybe a few shekels, email me at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. That would be nice. Today's Jared Walker Day on The Homemade Broadcast. Jared's a comedian in the area. I think he's semi-new, but he's you know, doing stuff all over the place. He's blowing up, man, in the Tampa Bay area. You know what? I read this thing, just to get back to the Lightning real quick, and Jared will be joining us shortly. They're dyeing the, not river, the channel? Is that right? Near channel side? I guess blue, like they do on St. Paddy's Day. They'll dye stuff green. And they're dyeing it blue. I understand that it's just dye, and I guess it doesn't hurt anything, but is it me or just does that not seem like a good thing to do? Just because you're adding a bunch, like, I don't know how much it takes to dye a body of water, but it's got to be a lot of dye that you're just dumping into the water. That's just chemicals, right? I mean, I know it's harmless, I guess, but I don't know. That just seems funky to me. I don't think they should be doing that, just adding, you know, a bunch of dye to our water, chemicals. I don't know. But so they're going to do that for Saturday's game. I don't know. And I guess Bruce Jenner is a big story going around, too. I tell you, if the world cared about anything as much as they care about Bruce Jenner's transformation, who knows what we could accomplish in this world. It's insane. I looked at my Twitter timeline yesterday, which you can follow me on Twitter at @home_made_man. So do that. Keep up with me. But I literally 5-6 tweets in a row were of that cover of, I said Bruce Jenner. I sent a tweet, something similar. I got yelled at because I didn't use her name. Caitlyn Jenner, the person now. Just going to call him person. We're not going to assign any gender roles because that would be sexist, I guess. This world's crazy. I don't know how much longer I can take of this nonsense. I'm serious. I'm bottled up so bad and I'm afraid to say anything because I don't want to piss anybody off. But I'm so irritated with just about everything. And I'm just trying to keep my cool because you have to. You don't want to see in this business that I'm trying to break into, I guess semi have, people get fired over saying stuff. Now, I don't think I'm in any danger of getting fired because I'm not technically hired, really. This is just something I do for free, for fun. So yeah, I don't think I could get fired, but even so, you know, it's a good learning experience to, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm afraid to say anything. And that's really a shame that, you know, people feel that way. I'm sure I'm not the only one, and I think it's only going to get worse before it gets better, unfortunately, but we will see. So this podcast is brought to you. The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by Sly Bar. Our old friends at Sly Bar find out why Sly Bar was named one of the top 15 businesses to watch in 2015 by ilovetheberg.com. Great beers, nice people. Next comedy night is Tuesday, June 9th, 8:30. Free pizza from our friends at Angelo's, our other sponsor. Sly Bar is located at 2061 Central Avenue. Find them on Facebook, facebook.com/SlyBarSt. Pete. Also, as I said, Angelo's, good friends at Angelo's. Love those guys. Great pizza. Best domain name in the biz, stpetza.com. STPETEZA.com. Everyone loves the pizza. They smash it down. I haven't gotten a piece yet because apparently it's so good. Everybody wants to eat it, and they don't want to save me a slice. That's okay, though. I certainly don't need it. Angelo's is located at 536 First Avenue North, right here in St. Petersburg. Go take them. Go visit them and be like, hey, I heard you got good pizza, Will said. And they'll be like, yeah, we do. So you should eat some. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm in a weird mood today. It's very hot in here, too. I meant to take the air conditioner down a few notches before I started and have neglected to do that. So now I'm just going to be sweating the whole time. And I'm sorry, Jared, because you're probably going to be sweating, too, in the future when you get here. So today is Jared Walker Day on the Homemade Broadcast. I guess we'll just wait for Jared to come. Oh, the trunk sale. That's right. Saturday, June 13th. It's the trunk sale. Proceeds benefiting the Haitian Mission Par La Foy, Inc. Saturday, June 13th from 9 until 4 at the First Unity Church, 460 46th Avenue in North St. Petersburg. This is humanitarian fundraising event. I'm so mumble-mouthed. I don't know. It's especially bad today. Sorry. The Haitian Mission with food and education. Parking spots are available for $30 suggested donation. So basically what the deal is you buy a parking space at the church. You bring your junk. It's a garage type of thing. You sell your junk. You keep the money for the things that you sell. And the rental for the parking spot is what goes to the mission. So for more information, contact Sumi Fink, 727-331-0104. Very good. Jared Walker will be joining us in minutes. So through the magic of the internet and radio waves on the way to you, please hold, and we'll be right back with Jared Walker. All right, Jared Walker, joining me in the future.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man?
It's good to be here in the future.
Yeah, it is. I'm happy to be here as well. I always try to record the just the beginning stuff, you know, so they don't have to stand there. The guest doesn't have to sit there and listen to me rant about whatever I'm talking about at the beginning.
Less time I spend listening to you,
the better. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree 100%. Jared's a stand-up comedian in the area, comes to Sly Bar sometimes, and performs all over the place. You got a couple things coming up, too, right?
Yeah, actually, this Thursday, I will be at the Wicked Witches and Brew at the Humidor show with Cigar City Comedy. Be performing. John J. Murray will be our headliner there, and also we'll have J.B. Ball, who was just recently on this show. Andrew Silas, I don't know if he's been on.
He has
been on, so he's been on here before. And Paul Voigt. I don't think he's been on.
I haven't met Paul Voigt. I've heard of him.
Yeah, Paul Voigt was he was a local comedian here, and he moved to Tennessee.
And then why?
For love.
Oh,
no, just kidding. He moved up there to do comedy stuff, and then he fell in love, and he stayed there for Road Vagina.
Gotcha. It seems like a weird place to move, Tennessee, but I think doesn't like Memphis or something have a pretty good comedy scene there or something? I was reading.
Surprisingly, yeah. I think the Paul Voigt said there is a pretty good comedy scene up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty big, and they actually have, they had a Side Splitters comedy club up there that he got a job with.
Oh, that's cool. So you got to, that would help being making money in comedy if you're working at a comedy club doing something.
Absolutely.
At least you can say you're making money, doing what you love.
Making money in comedy by serving tables.
That's right. Hey, you got to start somewhere. There's so many stories of those guys that were like, I worked the door. I think Maron worked the Laugh Factory or something like that in L.A. Yeah. for a long time and buddied up with, like, Kennison or something and spent a lot of time during his crazy drug years, which I guess really Kennison didn't really have a time where he wasn't using heavy drugs until he died.
It was pretty much his entire life was a crazy drug
year. Yes, yeah, yeah. Jared, so when the Wicked Witches, when is that?
So that's this Thursday, which is 6...
This won't even air on Radio CP before. I upload this Thursday. So
in the future, I've already done it.
Yes, yeah, so forget that. You got anything else booked up? Or?
Not that I know of.
No? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if there is, let me know. I upload this, I'll put it up.
All right, I'll let you know, but I doubt it.
Okay. All right. So, Jared, how long have you been doing comedy down here?
Oh, well, it depends on, like, grand total, probably 2 years consecutively. This will be my second and a half.
okay.
at this point, mm-hmm. consecutively. Now, I started with John J. Murray, which should make it a, more about 7 years ago. Now, maybe five.
Mm-hmm.
No, about five. Yeah, 5 years ago when he started. But I quit. Like, I did it like two or three times, and then I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I hate everything that comes out of my mouth. All of my jokes are terrible. Nobody's laughing at them, and I'm not laughing at them.
Yeah.
Done. Yeah. So, but then, you know, a few years, you know, cut to 3 years later, everybody's like, hey, man, you need to get back on stage. You need to keep doing stuff. And finally, I'm like, okay, I do want to get back on stage. I love comedy. I want to keep doing this. So I went through the five jokes I'd written, threw away three of them, because I was like, I hate these two the least, so I'll keep these, and I'll just start trying to write more. I'll just work on the two jokes I have and then try to do from there.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of picks up. You get used to being bad.
Yeah, sure. You have to.
Yeah, so anybody listening who wants, who's like, how can I be a stand-up comedian? First step, learn to hate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's step one. Step two, be cool with that. just be like, yeah, I hate myself. And I'm okay. It's like the opposite of Stuart Smalley. Like,
yes.
I like myself, and that's okay. Like, that's to be a comedian?
Good
opposite
enough.
Of, you got to go the other way with that. Hate yourself?
Yep.
Be cool with that. Like, I'm cool with knowing that I suck.
Knowing that you stink. Yeah. There's a lot of power in knowing that you're bad.
Yeah.
And then, because I don't claim to know what I'm doing here. Apparently, I do a serviceable job because I have not been, I haven't gotten the boot yet or anything.
That is the grand achievement of any stand-up comedy is like, I have reached mediocre status.
Yeah, well, people, having low expectations for yourself, yeah, you can really blow yourself out of the water. You can be like, wow, I didn't expect anything.
Wow. And I've got three listeners.
Yes, it's one of them's my mom, of course. But
wow, my mom doesn't even listen to me.
Really?
Maybe. I don't know.
No, your mom. I saw your mom. Wasn't your mom at the Bula Cafe when you did the
oh yeah, but I made her go to that. I was like, if you love me, you'll come to this. So I guess she does love me. She showed up. So.
Is your mom not like a fan of, is she not a fan of like the language? Is it one of those things?
No, it's not that. My mom is super supportive. She's supportive of everything I do, which is kind of sucks to like be in a creative field and be like, my mom supported me every step of the way.
Yeah.
Like,
you don't want to say that, right?
Yeah.
You're going
to
be like,
I had to fight to be here. Right. My parents didn't want me to do this. I told them, you go to hell, mom and dad.
It's my destiny.
I got something to say. You know, my parents are like, hey, you should go on stage. It's great that you're doing your dreams. I'm like, oh.
I love you.
I love you so much. Stop it.
Give you a kiss on the forehead, yeah. Pat you on the butt before you go.
Yeah,
get
exactly.
out there, Tiger.
But yeah, no, my mom's super supportive. She just doesn't go out because my stepdad is super, like, he's really socially awkward. He doesn't want to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, well, he doesn't want to go, so I guess I can't go either.
But what does that have to do with her?
Nothing. She just doesn't want to leave him alone, I guess.
Was she afraid he'll, like, kill himself or something?
No. She's just nice like that. She's just like, well, he's not, I don't want him to sit alone by himself. I'll just hang out with him.
God. Why are moms so nice? My mom's really nice, too. And it's like, shut up. You should tell her to stop
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Like, shut up, mom. Be meaner to me.
Sometimes I need that. Like, I can't stand the joy that sometimes exudes from people.
Yeah.
And whenever, like, my mom's favorite thing is me.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm her only boy and stuff.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, like, I think that's the only time she's really happy is if either she's smoked a bowl or I come to visit her, and then she gets overwhelmed with joy, and I'm just like, I can't take it for too long. The high-pitched squeals are just too much for me.
Especially when you bring her the drugs.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we had one
of
those
instances.
She's
like, oh, it's my favorite son bringing me my favorite thing.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a mess, but I do love her. But, man, it's sometimes tough. How old are you, man?
I'm 33 years old.
Okay. I'm right there with you. Did you find, because I turned 30 this year, and it's been a big topic of conversation for me because I'm noticing a lot of differences in my life as compared to, I know that 30 is just a number where you start, you know, a new decade.
Yeah.
But things have been changing for me, such as I go to sleep earlier, I wake up earlier. I'm more focused on things that are good for me, meaning foods.
Okay.
I know I need to do things and exercise. Like, I'm like, I don't want to, but I have to do this now. Otherwise, I know I'm just going to fall apart.
See, it sounds like you've reached maturity.
I think I have.
Yeah. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm still like, I'm going to just drink this soda all day. Like, I'm not there yet. But, like, I did when I turned 25. Let me know if you felt the same way when you turned 25.
Okay.
All right. When I turned 25, I said, wow, I'm 25. I've been alive for a quarter of a century. My life is over. Like, it just hit me hard. I'm like, ugh, this is terrible. Like, I'm no longer a kid, but I'm not succeeding in life either. Like, I feel like I should have accomplished something at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, I was, like, working at Best Buy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
25 did not have that. Didn't really have it till probably 30, man. That was like the big thing for me when I was like, oh man, I'm an adult now. Now, don't get me wrong, like, farting is still hilarious.
Well, obviously.
So maturity is like, it depends. If I'm in a silly mood, then I'm not. Yeah. I'm just a giant little boy.
Mm.
But and sometimes I do just feel like a little boy sometimes. That's how I feel. But I also am like, I have to pay my rent, and but I've always done that even when I wasn't 30, so that's not any different. But, like, I've started clipping coupons. I'm like, ooh, Dove deodorant, $2 off. Like, yo, I gotta get that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I do love a BOGO.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Buy one, get one.
I buy every single one of those, even though I don't even use these things.
I know. Like, it's hard to pass up a good BOGO.
It really is.
You walk by, you're like, two muffins for the price of one. How could I not get that?
You have to. Yeah.
It's savings, man.
Tampons, 2 for 1. Maybe I'll have a girl over sometime in my life. I don't know.
I might get a girlfriend one day, and when I do, she's set.
She will never have to buy tampons when she lives here.
4 months.
That's right. Jared Walker is a comedian. He's joining me today on the Homemade Broadcast, talking about getting older, being in our 30s now. So what would you say? So you said your epiphany came at 25, where you were like,
yeah,
oh no, what have I done?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, not so much an epiphany, so much as a crushing realization of despair. You know, I guess you say it hit at 30. For me, it hit at 25. I guess it's more of a midlife crisis.
Quarter life crisis.
Yeah, quarter
life. Those absolutely are true.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, this sucks.
Usually something like traumatic happens. Either someone dies, like about that age, someone dies.
Mm-hmm.
Some people get married. Some people even get divorced at 25 now with the way people do
some
things.
People,
something
some
traumatic.
Have kids.
Yeah, some people have kids. Something always like huge happens in your mid 20s. Luckily for me, it was just someone dying, thankfully. But it wasn't those other things. No, I'm grateful it was just someone dying. And it's not like it was somebody that was expected. You know, lived a full life. It was time for them to go.
I guess that's less macabre.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. But
for me, it was really, I woke up and I had to go to work.
Mm.
Yeah, that was my great struggle.
And that was like, you didn't do college or anything like that?
I did do college, mm-hmm. and then I quit college. Basically, this is what my career path was, is I was going to technical school. And then they kicked me out of technical school.
For?
Not going to technical school.
Oh, okay.
No, it was dumb. It was like a self-paced course.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to clock in, work at my own pace to, you know, get stuff done. And then one day they came up to me and they said, hey, man, you haven't been coming enough. Because I used to just be like, oh, I don't have to go. I'm not going to go today. I don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's self-paced. Who cares? If I miss a day, I can't fall behind because I'm working at my own pace. So, dumb idea on my path. So I didn't go. And then they came to me and said, hey, you're missing too many days. You got to fix that or you're going to go on probation. Here's the dumb thing about that. They told me, you got to fix this, but you're not allowed to go in more days. You're not allowed to go in early. You're not allowed to stay late. You had a set time that you were allowed to be there. You had to clock in at this time, clock out at that time.
Uh-huh.
Almost like a day job. And then I'd be like, okay, well, I'm missing 2 days. Can I stay? Can I come in earlier? No. Can I leave later? No. Then how am I going to fix it?
Mm.
You got to fix it. Like, they didn't have an answer. They just told me, you got to fix it. Told me I'd be on probation. But they didn't tell me what probation meant. You know? So, like, I'm fresh out of high school. They told me I'm going to be on probation. I'm like, that's just a weird word. I'm not going to have them define it for me. They didn't, you know, they're not going to tell me anything. I'll be like, all right, whatever, I'm on probation. They're like, hey, you're on probation. Come to find out that that just means, you know, that's like a one, it's like their one strike policy. Essentially, it's like, hey, you're on probation means that's strike one and you don't get to strike two. Like, strike two is you're out.
Uh-huh.
In this game of learning.
Uh-huh.
So next semester, did the exact same thing. They kicked me out saying, you're not progressing fast enough and you're missing too many days. And I go, well, how am I not progressing fast enough? It's a self-paced course.
Mm-hmm.
But it was nonsense. But here's the thing that's stupid about that. I did the exact same thing for a different class I took there. So, like, I went there for a year, passed the class, realized the class wasn't one I wanted to learn, went back for a different class. But the first year, I was on a scholarship that they provided. They didn't say anything to me, and I skipped just as many days.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder... Well, what were you trying to do? What were you going to school for?
I was going to school for a computer, learning how to fix computers and stuff, okay, like that. Technical stuff.
Uh-huh.
So after they kicked me out, I said, well, forget them. I'm just going to go to St. Pete College, take the exact same course they were providing, but it also comes with a degree. I said, yeah, that's a smarter idea.
Yeah, there you go.
So I went there, and then I also got a job at Best Buy working at the Geek Squad.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, my whole life started revolving around computers. Like, I would go to work, working computers. I would go to school, working computers. Then I would go home, and to relax, I would work on computers.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, one of this has to go, and I'm going to choose the one that costs me money.
Right,
fun times
right.
Got to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to get that paycheck.
Yeah.
School is the only thing draining, holding me down right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I kicked that to the curb, and I said, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to work at Best Buy and accumulate the experience I need and get a better job, which is exactly what I did.
Oh, okay. That's what I was going to say, is it sounds like for something like that, college is pushed on young people when they come out of high school. I went to college just because I didn't know what else I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
I didn't want to join the army.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to go get a job, really. So I was like, I'll go to college. And my parents didn't go to college, so they were like, oh, okay, cool. Good for you, man.
Yeah.
So there you go. See ya.
Yeah.
So I had no guidance whatsoever, but I wish in retrospect I would have skipped college and went, tried to find something. I like doing this. I like doing broadcasting stuff. I could have get in a radio station somewhere at 18, and by now, who knows where I could be at that point.
Exactly. I mean, here's a dirty secret. Anybody listening, don't go to college. Take it from the comedians. Don't go to college. This is what you need to do. Like, when you go to college, here's a dirty secret I'm not going to tell you. You're going to be super in debt from all the loans mm-hmm. you got to take out. And you're still going to need 2 years of work experience. So you still got to work a crappy job at McDonald's or something, you know, some kind of desk job,
right,
you know, for a retail place for at least 2 years before you go there. So you're going to spend 4 years getting your degree and then 2 years working a garbage job anyways to get that experience. Now, what you can do is don't go to college, save all that money, and then work someplace for like 5 years. And then you'll have the work experience that they'll overlook the fact that you don't have a college degree. Get yourself a good entry-level job someplace. Probably even above, like, second-level entry.
I agree. I will say if you want to be a doctor or a lawyer, go to college.
Well, yeah, you got to have the training for that.
Yeah. But there are very few to be a broadcaster or a comedian or fix computers. You can probably just figure that out on your own.
Self-taught. Most of the greatest success stories in America are done by people who don't have a college degree. Bill Gates doesn't have a college degree.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Jobs never went to college. Everybody, like almost every major success, every like Fortune 500 guy is a guy who did not go to college and instead just worked hard.
Yeah.
Just did hard work and taught themselves. So, you know, if you're not going to go to college, make sure you're prepared to work hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's step number one. Or go into the arts, and then you can just, you know, mess around.
And yeah, I think part of it too, man, is that you're expected to know what you want to do when you graduate high school. Some people do know, and I know some of my friends that from high school were successful because I wanted to be a teacher, so they knew, they went. They got their internships and what they were doing. They got their degree, and now they're being a teacher, and they hate it. Or now, you know, whatever. So one's a lawyer. You know, I got a lawyer friend. I got a doctor friend. But they knew that's what I want. I didn't figure what I wanted until I was probably like 2-3 years ago, yeah. Really.
I mean, I think most people, you don't need to know what you want to do, except for a few things. Like, if you want to be a politician, you gotta start that right out of the gate.
But what is a politician, though? A politician is just a lawyer who is going to run for office, can work the system, and
you can't
go get a college degree in politicianism.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying is that. But here in like politics, though, you got to go to college and get a college degree of some kind. It's got to be like some kind of impressive sounding major, like maybe law.
I think it's like 87% of politicians are lawyers, which is insane to me.
Yeah, they got to know the law, basically.
And then the rest are farmers from Kansas and Missouri, yeah. And Kentucky.
Yeah.
That just, they're like, they're little, like, I represent this little group of farmers, and I'm also a farmer. But the rest of them all along the coast, are just lawyers.
Yeah.
And that's part of our problem as a political system now, I believe.
Yeah, it's because these politicians know how to circumvent the laws that they supposedly uphold.
They certainly do. That's what the thing about lawyers is, they can find loopholes in things. And
well, that is possibly the best part about lawyers.
Yeah. I'm glad I know. Like I said, one of my friends really is a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm so thankful that if I ever get in trouble for anything, I'm not like totally defenseless. If you don't know a lawyer...
Yeah.
Like, I'm poor. I couldn't afford a lawyer if I needed one.
Yeah.
But thankfully, I know somebody that could, you know, I'll probably still go to prison, but maybe it'll be 10 years instead of 50 years.
It'll be a nice prison.
Years. Yeah, yeah, somewhere I can go out in the yard for 3 hours
nice
a day.
Nice and cozy, the forced sexual congress that you have to endure.
Yes.
It's very minimal. It's
right.
Loving. You know, they spoon you after the deed is done. You know, most places they just shove you out, shank you on the way. It's like, get out of here.
Yeah.
But, you know, at these nicer prisons, they cuddle. They smell your hair, tell you you look pretty. You know, they treat you like a lady.
That sounds nice to me, man. That's I could use a hug. So, but yeah, man, it's crazy. Just life in general is so. Some people have it figured out, and God bless them. That's awesome. But yeah. There's so many other people out there who have no idea. And it's like awesome when you finally do figure it out. But some people, some people never figure it out. And then
yeah.
They work these, and their life, I feel like, kind of sucks, you know, to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think most people's life sucks.
Yeah, me too. And like, that's really a shame that's a truth that we are just kind of like, yeah. That's the way it is. It sucks, literally, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, you work this stupid job that you hate, and
then
you settle for a woman or a man that you don't even respect or like
just because
they paid attention to you.
Or you just feel like that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like there's a lot of that, too. And I know it's, you know, being human, there's that clock in the back of your head. I think everyone's aware of their own mentality. Or mortality, excuse me, mentality. So there's always that creeping in the back of your head. Like, I feel weird sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, should I be married? Like, everyone's married. Should I be married? Should I be having... Everyone has kids. Am I behind the curve here?
Yes.
I am.
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, yeah, I guess I am. But and it's not that I don't want those things necessarily, but I just haven't achieved... Or can you call that an achievement? I don't know.
I guess more of a milestone, I think.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's part of the problem is that we're so fit. That, like, that's how bad things are. It's like we call, like I have my own house and a car,
mm-hmm.
and that's an achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that should be something that we should just have, you know? You know, those are things that should be that's my next milestone is I bought my own house. I have my own car, I have a good-paying job, and a loving wife. Those are milestones in life that we should be getting. But now, like, life is so bad, we just call those, I have that. That's an achievement. Look
at
me. I'm better than most of the people around.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that keeps me kind of grounded and not want to, like, kill myself is that at least I have a car, which I consider that's pretty good.
It's a luxury.
It is, yeah. It's on the verge of self-combustion, but, you know, it's lasting me for the time being. I have an apartment, and I don't have a roommate. That's a big thing, too, because people will ask me, like, oh, do you live with somebody? I'm like, no, 30 years old. No, I don't live with anybody. But that, I feel like, is a big thing, too. A lot of people are, like, live with roommates still in their 30s.
Yeah, I mean, I live with roommates.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Yeah, I don't mean to dog you or anything, I'm not trying to insult you.
I just do it because I'm lonely.
Okay, and some people choose that, too. Like, me, the last roommate I had, he had a complete opposite schedule as me.
Yeah.
So he would leave for work at, like, 7, and I left at work in the morning, and I'd be home at 5. So there was that two-hour period where I got to hang out with somebody.
Yeah.
And then I got to be by myself the rest of the night.
That sounds
terrific.
Pretty good.
That
actually.
Was awesome. Yeah. I got to cook, because I hate cooking, for one, because I got to clean, which sucks.
Nice. Yeah.
And then you have all this, like, food left over. I haven't managed just to cook for one, unless it's eggs or something.
You just cook one egg for yourself?
Cook one egg.
That's weird.
Yeah, I know. It feels weird, but yeah. I mean, at least it's
two,
like,
eggs, man. Come on.
Sometimes just cook an egg.
A minimum two eggs.
Have a snack. Have a nice egg.
You hard boiling eggs?
Nah, just frying it up in a frying pan. You know, I have a little egg pan.
You have
just
a tiny egg pan for one?
Yep.
It's
depressing.
It's
really depressing.
Did you buy that from the depressing store?
Yeah. From Goodwill. Yeah.
Goodwill. AKA the depressing store.
Yeah. Nice. But I mean, so yeah, man, I don't mean to talk, because a lot of people are doing it, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you're the majority. I'm the minority here of like living alone.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's almost pretty much everybody needs that now. There's like the wage has never gone up for a lot of stuff. That's why like people are mad. Like the McDonald's employees are like, we want $15 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They should be getting that. I mean,
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. Think about like. Whether or not you agree with that, just think about like it. $15. You need $15 an hour to be able to really even afford a place.
That's true.
To live like an apartment, you know, with or without roommates, and also be able to afford, you know, things like food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not even like it's not like just you need $15 an hour to be able to afford, you know, the house, pay the rent. Buy the food and, you know, the utilities and stuff like that, and just the bare minimum of survival, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, like a lot of times, like you think, like, okay, well, McDonald's workers, it's not skilled labor. You know, how much do they really need to make? Well, probably enough to live on, considering that those are the, you know, when the economic turn hit a few years ago, like those were like the premium job. They became the premium jobs.
Yeah,
working at McDonald's, like people, you know, 30-year-old people like you and myself were finding out like, oh, there's no jobs for us right now.
Yeah,
we got to go to McDonald's and like pump those 16-year-old kids. Like, hey, get out of there, Dad needs the job today. Mm-hmm. You know, you go mow lawns or something. You know,
yeah man, and that's true too. You know, when I came out of school, I graduated in 2011. So things were we were in the muck then pretty much of this economy. And I went on a few job interviews and it was awful. It was just because I knew I didn't want to be doing this. Like I went and applied to be like insurance adjuster and I had spoken to insurance adjusters and literally nobody said, I enjoy my job very much. Oh, you should think about a career in this. Everyone was like, don't do it, man. Like, don't. In their eyes, I could tell that they were being straight with me.
The deadness in their eyes.
They were like pleading with me not to do it.
Yeah.
So I mean, luckily I was in a position.
Young. There's still hope.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, but I was like, yeah, but you make 40 grand a year. Like, that's pretty appealing to me.
That is pretty appealing to me. Like, I work a job now where I make that kind of money, and I don't want. Like, I hate. Doing it, like I can't stand doing it anymore. Like the thought of getting up and going to that job, is mind-numbingly crushing on a daily basis. And then like, but I love comedy, and I'd love to just do that full time. But I'm not gonna make enough money to afford the things that I like in my life now.
Right? So you're too comfortable now.
Yeah, I'm a slave to my own, you know, lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right now, I gotta it's like Fight Club, where like the things that you own end up owning you.
Right.
Like that's literally my life right now. So I would say to anybody listening, be reckless.
Mm.
Follow your drive, even though it's a dumb idea. Do it now while you have nothing.
Yeah.
And then you'll get used to continuing to have nothing. And then when you find, if you become successful, hey, you'll be like, hey, I'm doing what I love and I have things.
Right.
And if you don't, you'll be like, well, I'm doing what I love, but I'm cool with this.
That's totally true, man. You're absolutely 100% right there. Jared Walker is a comedian in Tampa Bay sitting next to me on this episode of the Homemade Broadcast. We're getting ready to wrap up here already, believe it or not. So tell me a little bit about your first time doing comedy? What was, so we were, and not going with, I'm talking about the first time on stage.
On stage, okay.
What was that like?
Bad. you're going to find, like, pretty much most comedians you're going to talk to, except maybe one or two.
Cam Bertram was like, I did awesome, and I got asked to be on a show. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
he's an outlier. That dude, Cam, he's white Chris Rock, first of all. If you've heard of him, he's been on this
what's
show.
The one, what's, oh, God, you posted a photo of that guy on Facebook, the
Pete
white
Davidson.
Black. Oh, my God, I died. Yeah, yeah. I was like, that's true.
No, it's totally him. But no, he sounds exactly like white Chris Rock. So if you've heard him on the show, you know, like you got, like you were like, is that the black dude? No, it's white dude. Like, he
my
sounds
favorite
like
thing.
He hates being called white Chris Rock.
Yeah.
But, you know.
My favorite thing whenever he comes to Slide Bar is, all right, I got my first black comic of the night. And it's so hacky by now, but I love saying it.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it, just do it for me.
Like, I do, but let me just do a self plug real quick. I do a podcast called Something Planet with John J. Murray. One of our hosts on there is a man named Mike, who's on the show. And speaking of hacky jokes, like every time we warm up the show, like, let me get a mic check. I go, oh, it's right there. Makes me laugh every time. There, everybody else
just
is
for
sick
you.
Of, yeah, that's just a joke just for me. I'm like, mic check right there. See him. makes me laugh. It makes them mad, which
makes
smile more.
Sure. I get that 100%.
Exactly. But yeah, me going back to comedy, the first time you're on stage, it's not good. Like, get that out of your head that you're going to get signed to a, you know, comedy label doing a stand-up special. Like, this guy's great. You're probably going to have, like, 1 minute of material. If that, it's going to blow. It's going to be bad. Nobody's going to like it. You're not going to like it. I mean, if you bring a bunch of friends, they're going to cheer and clap for you, and you'll feel pretty good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But the first time you do it without support, which is really your first time when you don't have friends in the audience. That's the real first time that you're doing comedy.
Yeah.
You're probably going to eat it. It's not going to be fun. You're going to hate it. But if you can get back on the stage, you just became a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the moment you're going to be like, I hate myself. You know, I think I'm okay with that. And you're going to get back on stage. And then eventually you'll be,
serviceable.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe if you're lucky.
Eventually you it's not like you'll like yourself, but you know, you're you'll become numb to the hatred.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you'll just keep doing that, and that'll be your life from now on.
You'll be poor, and you'll be
poor. You won't like anything that you do, but you know, sometimes you go on stage and people will chuckle, and you'll be like, "All right, I killed it."
That's a great feeling, man.
Yeah, it is a great feeling. Like, all joking aside, if the audience laughs at something you do, that's great, and you love it, and that's what's addicting to comedy. Like, as much as like most people will say, comedy, you got to hate yourself to do, you know, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of bad, but you're basically like a drug addict. You're just chasing that laugh.
Right.
Yep.
So, Jared, you don't have any shows booked right now?
Not right now. So, in Radioland, I will have already done a show. I might get shows later from that show, but for now, nothing.
All right. What's your plug the podcast and your Facebook, Twitter, where people can find you and all that?
You can Google Something Planet. Somethingplanet.com is the podcast that we do. I'm at The Jared Walker. That's spelled J-E-R-O-D. And that's my Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter. I occasionally tweet things that might be amusing. You know, sometimes it's mostly just making myself laugh because I don't have any followers.
Yeah, Twitter's for me too, believe me. I like the fact, like, I do it to promote the show now, but I really miss the days where I could just say crazy stuff and it wouldn't have no effect because nobody was following me. Now I have a few followers and it's kind of I don't want to talk crazy because people might think I'm for real.
I don't want to make my fans mad.
Not my fans, but just people will be like, are you okay, man? Like, because, you know, it's sad sometimes, and I just want to talk crazy, and I can't do it now.
No, that is a constant concern. Like, I want to tweet this, but then people will ask me, "Hey, are you feeling okay?" And then I'll have to have
lie.
have to lie. Be like, "No, I'm fine.
Everything's fine." Yeah. All right, Jared, man, thanks for coming out. I want to do Something Planet. John said I could come do it. I want to come hang out with you guys one time.
Absolutely.
So I'm waiting for the invite.
If John said I can't tell him no. So.
Well, he might have just said it in passing. Who knows? But yeah, man, follow me on Twitter, home_made_man, RadioSaintPete.com, Radio St. Pete on Facebook, facebook.com/thehomemadebroadcast. I'll talk to you weirdos some point in the future. Is that it? Is that all I have to say? Thinking. All right, I'm wrapping it up. Forget it. See y'all later.